views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
When the family and I left Shang-Chi, I was talking to them about an article I had read previous to the release about how they, Marvel kind of hoped it would have the same impact now, because it was originally supposed to, it was written and then shelved, and it was supposed to be out like after the 08 Iron Man. And then when they went with the, they realized they were going the Infinity Gauntlet route with it, Shang-Chi didn't have a place in that. So they shelved the movie. And one of the hopes with it coming out now too is that we'll have the same impact for like Asian culture, Asian actors, as Black Panther did, which was huge.
It's exactly why Bruce Lee left America for so long. And he made so many movies over in China and Japan.
Like most of his blockbuster films that we watched
were
today.
All there because he wanted to be realistic with the actual people involved in those areas.
Exactly.
So, and that beautiful for Shang-Chi, for them to do that.
But what I, when I, and then actually my son said this, he was like, but the difference is that when they made Black Panther, there is not, there's not like a committee or an organization that runs filming in Africa. Not like Canadian film industry or New Zealand film industry. Like, it's not like huge for people to want to film in Africa. So that Black Panther was huge just for that alone. Now, I'm not saying Shang-Chi isn't a huge step in American cinema.
For representation.
Right.
Well, what we talked about, and like, it's so awesome my son brought this up too, because he's just like aware, and he was just like, Asian cultures, they have a very strong cinema in their country. So the actors and actresses do have a chance to get roles. And, you know, and it might not be American Hollywood's budget, which this is what Shang-Chi's doing. It's like, oh, no, here's the big baller fucking budget. It's number one right now in the box office. But they still have the chance to act, whereas if you go into Africa, they really don't have that in their own country. That's the big difference, I think.
Yeah.
Americans are so, like, internalized as far as what they see as, if it's not an American film, it doesn't count. Like, what's his name that was in Rogue One, the I Meant with the Force, Force With Me? He's been, he's had a film career for like 30 fucking years. He's like one of the most well-known actors in the fucking world. And on the red carpet for Rogue One, he was asked how it felt to like break his breakout role in Rogue One.
Oh my Jesus.
He's like, motherfucker, I've been doing this for 30 years.
Did you not see Iron Monkey just like 15 years prior?
I mean, come on. That was an amazing movie.
I'd love Iron Monkey, dude.
But with representation, that's something that Marvel, especially Feige, has been trying to fight for since the very beginning with Iron Man. And a problem with Black Panther taking as long as it took to come out, for the reason why Black Widow happened as almost, it seemed, an afterthought, was partially due to the clashes with Ike Perlmutter, who was one of the producers early on with Marvel.
Yeah.
Big Trump supporter, was really saying that, no, it's got to have a white male lead or it's not going to sell in the box offices. Feige threatened to quit unless Disney gave him complete control over the MCU without having to go through Perlmutter. They give Perlmutter TV to control. That's when he came out with the fucking Inhumans. Fucking show
that dope
and,
down so hard.
And I think he's gone now, from what I think. But he basically got summarily dismissed because he was like, didn't want any budget for any of this stuff. Didn't want any representation. He thought it was all horse shit.
Right.
And once he's gone, you see ripples that it takes. These movies take years to prep before they put them out. So it took years for Black Panther and Black Widow and all those movies to come out. And so Shang-Chi, I'm sure it's the same thing. Why that was on a shelf. Because nobody's going to watch a mostly Asian movie.
I mean, that was probably the like, we just started this. Like, no one's going to spend money, and you know, it's not, because they're worried about blockbusters. And like every Marvel movie is pretty much raking in gold.
Americans hate epic action sequences and fantasy whimsy.
But what we're seeing now is it's a call to action on the pretentiousness of American Hollywood.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's where we're at with this, and that's awesome.
Well, I'm excited that maybe America opens up a little bit more to more foreign films, getting more major releases in the States.
Let's
do the intro so we can get on with this, because there's a lot to unpack with Shang-Chi. Not just the social conversation, but I mean, just on the most basest of levels, just a fun, entertaining Marvel superhero film.
So fun.
It's a fucking blast. And so a reminder that if you have not seen Shang-Chi, And that's probably the closest to properly pronouncing it. I'm going to get this entire episode.
I got you. I'll fix it.
Yeah.
You
were saying the white boys are going to have issues with this. Look, the whole episode.
Everyone but me.
Right. I can only try to get the inflection right so much before it sounds like I'm being racist.
I'm going to do my best.
The guy with the 10 rings. That's what we'll...
Yeah, the guy with the 10 rings, yeah. The 10-ring dude, Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
Just call him Sean. There you go. Just call him Sean. Just call him Sean.
So, welcome to this episode of Geeks on the Influence, a spoiler-heavy episode about the guy with the 10 rings.
There you go.
Welcome. Families at work, and shall be again. Attending all the guards, and dying marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong. So you better join us now. You better do it fast, or you will be dead. Lie down on the gun, this is compromised for dead. You play it safe. Woo!
Yes!
Yes, yeah. I am so excited to talk about this movie. This is the first movie that we're being introduced to a new title character. We got introduced to Black Widow's sister in the Black Widow movie.
Right.
This is the first new Avenger, basically, that we're meeting post-Endgame, coming out fucking swinging. Holy shit.
Right. You had it.
A new character, but also, like, I saw a huge expansion in the Marvel Universe with this.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
One thing that I hope they could tie together in the cinema is, like, so this is another mystical place, unlike Kung Lao and Iron Fist. I'm just like, can we get, like, some of that?
Does every mountain in China have a mystical realm with dragons?
There's some weird gates going on in the mountains of China. That's all I got to say. But I think in just about every phase of Marvel, like, they have pulled out a title character that was not mainstream. And it fucking made him mainstream.
A lot in Guardians. With Guardians and Thor.
Well, Thor technically phase one, because Thor was kind of a side character anyways. He was one of the original Avengers in the comics, but he was never like, I'm going to go get the new Thor. No. Mm. No.
Yeah.
Then you had Guardians, and then I can't even think of really any others.
Oh,
low title.
Black Panther was huge, but I think that was big for the cinematic universe, what they did with that film. The cinema part was huge,
but Black Panther was still a big name.
That's what I'm saying. During that time, I mean, you kind of can drop it down on Netflix. You got Luke Cage.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, stuff, Luke Cage. You know? Yeah.
And then until Disney fucked that. Never mind.
Well, anyway.
But yeah, let's announce who's on the panel first so we can just really get into this. First off, to my left, my partner on Deeply Upsetting, the host of Deeply Upsetting, and a partner in life. Style Weekly calls her Bickett's girlfriend.
My claim to fame.
Oh, so insulting.
That's what I wish everyone called me.
Oh, I got you. Just, I got you.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You already said it now. Yeah. You already said it.
Every once in a while, I'm just going to throw it out there.
That's fair. Yeah. There you go. I deserve that. That's fair.
She has an actual name and is a showrunner on the network from Deeply Upsetting. We've got Amy Bogard here.
Hi.
Deeply Upsetting, Unfamiliar. We talk a lot of shit and tangent really hard, and it's very fun.
It's some fun nonsense.
Yeah,
it is.
People ask questions, we answer them.
Sort of.
Those 3 a.m. thoughts, if you will.
Pretty much, It started with us deciding which Taco Bell food item you'd most want to have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was asked to me out at like Ensu one night. It was like, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And a show was born.
And a show was born. Shit.
Ta-da!
Speaking of birth, the gentleman that has an entire show about being in charge of something birthed, the geek father himself.
Really great transition
That segue was rough, bro.
About as rough as being a parent, and you can hear all about that.
Better.
With Kyle Smash, we've got the original geek father.
Who am I?
I was trying to remember.
What the hell?
No. I was trying to remember if we had a new nickname for you, if you're just going with Scotty P now.
Well, Scotty P.
Sorry, my brain is fried, dude.
I announced it on a Geek Fathers episode. Hey guys, what's happening? By the way, I figured Scotty Big Daddy or whatever it was. I was like, that's sounding a little too perv when we're talking about our kids.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just go with Scotty P.
Yeah,
there you go.
Solid.
Scotty was like.
But it was one of my nicknames rolled over from here.
Yeah,
so,
true.
Yeah, but no, Scotty P, from the Geek Fathers plural now.
Yes.
You've gotten Kyle Smash to join your ranks on that show.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sucker.
So if you want to hear about geeky parenting, check out Scotty P and Co.
It is a horny nickname, I've got to say, for the, to have it as, on the Geek Fathers. I'm seeing it now. Yeah. I'm putting that piece together.
It all comes together somehow.
Speaking of horny, the chocolate-voiced stallion of GUI is next on the panel.
Talk about getting nicknamed.
That's a great segue.
Jesus Christ. The ASMR crowd comes every time he opens his mouth.
Ooh. Wow.
Hey, all right. I'll take it.
The velvety tones of Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on, you freaky fucks?
You will take it. You will.
Take it and give it.
No, fair. Generous lover.
Yeah.
Generous lover.
If you're going to take it, we got better give to.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
That's right. Now, I'm super stoked to talk. Great. We have a great panel for this. I'm super stoked.
This is going
to
be a silly fucking episode.
Oh, definitely.
It's going to be those episodes where it's silly, but we're still going to, I think we're just going to touch on a lot of solid, just solid stuff. That came out of this movie, honestly.
Well, let's say, because Black Widow, as much as we love it, this is the first big MCU kicking it after like a year and a half
since
of quarantine.
Endgame. Well, no, since Far From Home.
Far From Home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right, you got to include the Sony cousin.
That was tying up loose ends from Endgame.
Big release,
right?
Same with Black Widow. I feel was still tying up some things, getting things set up for the next round.
Like the fucking final cuts, like credit scene. Sure, like the whole movie was like a gap, telling a story.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I enjoyed the movie, but it definitely was just like a hey, this happened between this and this. Hey!
To me, it would have been Black Widow would have been better to be actually shown in that proper
after
timeline.
Civil War.
Yeah, exactly. but anyway, Shang-Chi basically is kicking off the next phase.
Yep,
which is, and it's been glorious.
Yep,
it's been fucking glorious.
It was a great film to pick to actually be the first release for the new phase.
Yep, right.
Honestly, I've got to go with that. And the man who put us all together,
for better or for worse.
I hope you look in the mirror some days and was like, what the fuck did I do?
I do that most mornings, honestly. Yeah. Yeah,
that's fair.
And it's usually after I over-trim one side of my beard, I go, what the fuck did I do? And then I have to...
The man who just questions his existence sometimes, or apparently every morning, Mike Tyler Pickett.
I think it's healthy to keep yourself in check by just going like, this is what we're dealing with today? Okay, cool. Cool. This is fun for me.
Yeah, I no longer need an alarm because I'm woken up by the guttural screams of a man looking in the mirror and wondering
it's
what
like
he's wrought.
Scream.
Yeah, exactly. What, he falls down every morning.
What was what's his face from SNL? And gosh darn it, I'm worth it when he's talking in the mirror.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'm beautiful.
Mango?
I'm smart enough.
The mango?
No, that was Chris Kattan.
No, that was Stuart Smalley.
Yes, yeah, Stuart Smalley.
Oh,
I'm
smart enough.
The mirror dimension version of Stuart Smalley.
Oh,
where
fuck
it's like,
yes.
You're a piece of shit. You're garbage. Nothing you do matters. And then I just walked to my desk to remotely check in for work. Yeah. That's
your pep talk.
Here bringing all the laughs. I'm Mike the Hobbit.
We're laughing. Like, I'm sorry you're not.
We went from horny lowdown entrance
to just a
very
bucket full of
sad.
Yeah. Different horny. It's kind of like the crying game over here.
You know? The crimaxing kind of thing.
Crimaxing. Yeah.
I'm Mike the Crimaxer Bickett on the show. Yeah.
That's a great new nickname.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Crimaxer sounds like the band that opens for 30 Seconds to Mars. Crimaxer.
Oh, my God. Solid.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I'm not getting the nicknames anymore after all this shit. God damn.
It goes hard.
It's going real hard.
So speaking of going hard, segue. Shang-Chi is...
What?
Starts off where... I love that there's this really nice balance between the first Marvel movie that we ever saw as Iron Man, where he's super rich and he's got these fancy cars and he's dropping off his car at valets all the time to come to Shang-Chi, and... He is a valet. He's working this like menial job with Awkwafina. They're best buds. They are doing the things that I did when I was cooking, where you get off of work and then you just go fucking do shots and party with your coworkers.
Right. Karaoke.
And those literal conversations of, "Who? It's kind of late.
Yep.
We should go to bed." Or, and just more drinks are ensued.
And obviously,
whatever.
Aladdin song.
Duh.
Yeah, was it Magic Carpet or something?
Yep.
Like,
yeah,
a whole new world.
Show you.
Whole new world. Yeah. I was like, really? Yeah, but in fact, it was a Disney movie.
Yeah.
I was like,
All right.
If you go to any hip bar ever with a college crowd, there will be two college kids that will go up and do A Whole New World.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every single fucking time, and it was different people every time that I went to Sticky Rice for fucking karaoke, there were two fucking college kids, different college kids each time, that sang A Whole New World.
Wow. You got to remember, I worked the door at Bottom Line for like 3 or 4 years, karaoke was every Wednesday. I saw some shit.
Mm. Yeah. I believe it. So, you probably heard the whole Disney repertoire.
Fuck, yeah,
dude. As long as it's good, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was not mad
about
that.
No guarantee.
Right.
There's never a guarantee.
What if that's the 1%? Because it's a 99% on the tomato meter for audience score right now. The 1% is like, I just didn't care for that Aladdin song scene. That's the one thing that they're just not about.
What if it was the Eagles, though? What if it was Hotel California? Like, I can't do... I waited through the credits for this? Like,
that was...
Yeah.
Speaking of, I also love that they didn't bring in Doctor Strange as the cameo. They brought in fucking Wong.
I was waiting for Strange, and when I didn't see him, I was like, nice.
That's kind of nice.
Right. That's nice.
I liked that.
It was.
Because Wong fucking kicked Abomination's ass.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was about to say, throwing an Abomination. Not only the fight scene that they have, but also just the them banter. Talking afterwards. Yeah. And like, just, beautiful.
I want to ask about that. What do we think is happening there? Because it's definitely, now, I think they're probably going to retcon Abomination's look. It looks a lot more like the comics than it does in the original, like, 08 version.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with. He's got the gill things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is that Tim Roth? Did we figure that out? Was that Tim Roth?
Well, he calls him by the character's name. Emil, was it?
That's from the comics, though. That's not from the movie.
So I don't know if it'll be Tim Roth, but, it's definitely the same character, quote unquote.
There's been rumors of Tim Roth doing it. Maybe they didn't do it for this one, because I couldn't tell in the quick face shots that they had of him.
The face does represent. Even though it's monstered out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you would think you would still see that. I didn't recognize that, but there's still rumor that Tim Roth is doing something related to Abomination somewhere
there's
in the Marvel.
There's talk about Abomination showing up in the She-Hulk series.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah.
So I could see, and it would make sense for Tim Roth to come back. I don't see him being like, no, I don't want to be involved in the Marvel cinematic
universe. Why would he say no because Marvel money, but two, why would you want to recast Abomination?
Yeah. Like, exactly.
So I do like that it seems that there's some kind of relationship between Abomination, like, you know, friendly or at least coworker type relationship. Now, Abomination, from what I understand, is in the Raft, like that floating prison that exists in this world. And it looks like there's prisons like on through the little like.
Well, I was
portal.
About to say it didn't look like the sanctum that they were going back to. They were definitely going somewhere else.
So what I'm thinking, and this is my theory, is that it was brought up and the beginning of Infinity War, that Wong has no fucking money. Yeah, he needed a spiritual tuna sandwich or something.
Right.
And so I could totally see Wong working out where he helps out with the Raft occasionally for some of the more wily of characters. And General Ross trying to do something with Abomination gets him to go out and basically kind of stretch his muscles a little bit.
Sure.
And gets Wong to go out and do it. So he ends up making a little bit of cash while doing this.
It makes sense in the way that the Marvel Universe, or the MCU, I should say, works. It makes sense.
Well, and you and I were talking afterwards about the Stinger scene where they're talking about the Ten Rings and trying to figure out what they're made out of, because it's not vibranium. It's definitely older than that. And we were talking about how it's probably going to tie into the Eternals.
The Eternals, for sure.
Again, that secret scene of where it's something is going on internally with the rings. Is it the internal? Is it something, or is it something in a bigger scope that they're leading to for the next bit? What would be considered the next Endgame or Infinity War story?
Well, I think the key really is in showing that there were specialized weapons that they're the protector dragon I keep wanting to say Tanis, which is a different mystical. Talao, that their weapons specifically were the only ones that could get the Soul Suckers. That the Razor Fist.
Amazing.
So good.
That fucking truck. Holy
dude,
shit.
Truck. It was a fucking crossover.
But
and he had spray paint.
He had to retrofit his Razor Fist with the actual spiritual,
The dragon scale one.
You know what that was, right? That was Drago's son from Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it took me a second, but I was like, oh, the beard.
I knew he looked so fucking familiar. Yeah, yeah, and then, fucking A.
I'm glad he got another big role.
Big role.
Dude, that dude's fucking swole, bro.
Oh, fuck yes.
But I'm assuming that the Soul Suckers are basically going to tie into the Deviants?
Deviants free Eternals.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I feel like if they're not Deviants, the Soul Suckers aren't part of the Deviant race. They're at least something relating to, they're from a different dimension that I'm sure ties in. And it even in the Stinger scene, they talk about there being like a signal coming from the rings that started.
That's what I was mentioning. Yeah, exactly.
And in the trailer for Eternals, it shows that something was basically summoned to Earth. You see something like crash landing. So I'm assuming that's what calls something to Earth.
Right.
You know, that starts off a chain of events.
Oh, this is not important at all. It was just in conversation about the Razor Fist character.
Yeah.
Is that I was also trying to figure out who it was. And so I did a little internet digging. And this also ties into some of the incredible nicknames that you've been doling out.
Yeah.
Apparently, this guy's nickname, and I wonder if it was like bestowed upon him or if he's just trying to make it happen, is Big Nasty.
No.
The more you know.
Big Nasty.
Big Nasty.
Oh,
that feels like one that you choose for yourself, and you're like, come on, guys, Big Nasty.
I thought that's what we represented. I thought that's what we called, like, the James River. I thought it was the Big Nasty and the Old Dirty.
Speaking
Old Dirty Richmond.
Maybe he got it from there.
Yeah, maybe.
Amy was doing some research on was it Michelle Yeoh?
Mm-hmm.
About her ex-husband.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh?
That, like, no, I mean, not any kind of, like, weird, scary thing. It's more like...
Okay.
As far as names go.
Oh, God, I don't remember what it is now.
It was like Dick's...
It was... hold on. What? This is too important.
It was like Dixon Holes or something. It was like, it was, I mean, like legit really that close to...
It's really bad.
Wow.
What the shit?
Look, it there was a few months back that I posted...
Dixon Poon.
Dixon Poon.
Dixon Poon.
Dixon Poon.
Wow.
Why?
Holy
not, right,
shit.
Not the Dix, but Dixon Poon.
Poon. I just said Dixon Holes being like, yeah, it's definitely not that bad. Nope, it's worse.
It's worse. It's worse. There. It's there.
Could you imagine? And I'm sure, like,
wow.
I'm sure it wasn't even thought of until, like, started doing jobs in the States and stuff. And people were like, I'm sorry. What's your name?
God, what a bummer to find that out. That's like when I went to middle school with a girl who had, like, recently immigrated. And her name was Yura Wang. She was in for a rude awakening coming to America. I felt so bad.
Also, Americans are dicks.
Exactly.
Right. Like,
Dixon Poon, as
Dixon
it turns
Poon,
out.
Yeah, or you're Wang, because she could just say you're a Wang. Yep.
Your order is ready for Dixon Poon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
Sucks so much. But
sucks.
You know what? Apparently, still with a name like that, was able to land...
Certified fucking
like,
hot.
Certified 100% fresh Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
We also, let's just be real, we also had the second... largest actor in the film with Awkwafina.
Yeah.
Who
I mean,
is
it's
a treasure.
Fuck no, yes. Amazing, but also when you find her name, you're like, really?
Oh no, that's her stage name.
I know, but it's
yeah.
But the way it's spelled, it's like
that's her rap name. That's basically her version of Childish Gambino.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
she can't escape that at this point.
No, she's stuck with that.
It's done.
Even when she did like a serious movie like The Farewell starring Awkwafina.
Yeah. Like, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Because she was in Ocean's 8 or something.
Wasn't
she?
Right.
Sandra Bullock as well.
That was actually not bad.
It was so fun.
I enjoyed that.
The big difference is you talk about Childish Gambino, in acting, it's Donald Glover. He did not allow
He did keep them separate.
Yes,
you're right.
Even Lady Gaga did that. She's credited as Stephanie Germanotta for A Star
Is Born. Yeah, the last one she did.
Star Is Born.
Yeah.
Now, the greatest name comes from, what is it, the series with MJ in it that you watched.
What?
The
HBO series
with Zendaya in it.
Zendaya, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh.
HBO series.
I think it's, no, it's a character. No, it was a character from Shrill. An actor from Shrill.
ER Fightmaster?
ER Fightmaster.
Coolest name of all time.
I've seen that name. Yes.
Period R period Fightmaster. So it's like the ER fight. Fuck. That is the most rad name I've ever heard in my entire fucking life.
What show is this?
Shrill. I think that's their first role ever. But I don't know if that was like a birth name or a chosen name.
Okay, because when he mentioned Zendaya, I was like, well, Euphoria. That was
Shrill.
No, it wasn't
He's
Euphoria,
just thinking of shows that I watch that he doesn't. Just going through that laundry
list. The
list,
yeah. But no, it's Shrill. It's a character in there that the actor's name is E.R. Fightmaster.
Coolest name ever.
Just the fucking coolest. Ooh. But let's get back onto the
I got a hard... I'm going to do a hard turn here. So... This is still early in the movie. What was the better scene to the other panelists?
Ooh.
Was it the train scene from... Mm. There's a train scene from... What was it? Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's the ship scene from Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay.
And there's the bus scene from Shang-Chi.
Ooh.
Right? Come on.
Wow. Okay, well, if it comes to
you're welcome,
the best for face acting, that's going to go to Tobey Maguire because he's landing 1,000 faces at the same time.
The amount of, like, I'm I make an ugly face when I come. Yeah. The looks that he's doing when he's holding the train in front and with the yeah. webbing.
Oh yeah,
it's just a lot of.
I mean, it looked like he shit his tights.
Feel good. Yeah.
No.
He shit his tights hard in there.
Oh, 100%.
There's poops in them jammies.
And yes. then everyone yes. lifted him.
Yeah. yeah.
You're like, oh,
I just got diarrhea on their hands.
I got some juice. I got some juice.
Yeah, they didn't want to name him because they were like, oh, he pooed on me.
No one speaks of what happened here.
Right. Yeah. No, but I mean, there are both two very just like ass clenching scenes. Especially, you know, I mean, like even ass ship clenching. Scene with Vulture. Like,
clearly fucking, didn't work very well.
He's right. trying to hold the ships together. You're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, dude, that's baller status.
Yeah,
like,
really, it is. That mm-hmm. it's know? Pretty legit, but I don't know, man. Shang-Chi really. He took it hard on that,
was
that
awesome.
One.
He
kind of
beat the transport scene in Deadpool 2, in my opinion. Like, the transport scene with Deadpool,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And that's another one. Like, that's the most recent comparable one.
Right.
The choreography is so much better. And what I loved about the bus scene, too, and I called it when we were watching the film, is that there's a scene where you're looking from the outside of the bus and you can see through the windows, and there's this, like, side-scroll moment that is so 100% a send-off to Old Boy.
Oh, dude.
It's
oh, yeah.
totally
yes.
doing the hallway so, yes. scene from Old Boy.
It's so fucking good.
It can't not be a send-up to that.
Well, yeah.
It's so, so perfectly.
I'll stick to Shang-Chi at this point with the bus scene. But let me also just say, which will reference the rest of the show as well, there are so many throwbacks to some of the best kung fu movies
in this
fucking film. So many, especially, like, I know Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That was when, that's when mom and dad are first
meet. Well, Michelle Yao, yeah, you know, is...
But no, but, like, when they first meet...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Like, that is all Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Oh, yeah, just right yep.
that
the
is
gliding
said that immediately.
And everything.
So beautiful. Yeah. So beautiful.
Stunning.
Done.
Dude.
Done.
Her being able to like control the elements with her kung fu, oh, it was so moving. Like
you can
I
with
truly
her kung
loved
fu,
it.
It's okay. It's,
I know. I just got ahead of myself.
Yeah.
yeah.
I,
mean,
it was
I got too verklempt. I couldn't finish the sentence.
That fight scene because again, you know,
so good.
He is all aggression and mm-hmm. anger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's just like, no, not today, mm-hmm. and it just kind of moves him around.
Well,
like,
well,
holy shit!
And
this is beautiful.
That comes full circle at the end when the aunt is showing Shang-Chi what to do. And just all she does is really just open his hands when he's making a fist.
Mm-hmm.
But he's
don't
doing
jump around too much. But we've kind of been doing that. But like,
yeah.
Scott is right. Like when he finds out that you know there's a whole other side of him that he doesn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
All he knows is his dad, and that's how he's been fighting, which does well for him.
Oh yeah.
But when he finds that when he enters and meets his aunt and the people that live there, and he realizes a whole other side to him, he truly becomes himself once he learns and masters his mother's style.
Kind of like,
yep.
And now he is like the ultimate fucking master.
The balance of the two, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so rad the way they did that.
So cool.
So rad.
So is this like coming full circle like a ring?
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
Why did he do that instead of you? You shame yourself. Hang your head.
I was trying to look up the name of the genre. Crouching Tiger, House of Flying Daggers. There's
Empire. What's it called? Empire. That's really good too.
Oh yeah, Empire is good.
Yeah,
that's one that has a similar.
But there's genres of like martial arts where it has like basically a romance that happens with martial arts and nature. It's like I forget the.
It's more like dance choreography.
Yeah.
Than
it's more
else.
Like
yeah.
Because like when they first meet, his parents, it's.
It's
kind
flirtatious.
Of sexy. Yeah.
It's
like
very
it's
like, oh,
we're
about to get our fuck on.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. There are definitely bedroom eyes happening at one point.
The chemistry
you know?
Was like, amazing.
But it was kind of weird, and I'm glad they didn't give the actor to do the same look when he did it with his son. I was like,
I had that thought too. I had that thought too.
Please
where
don't
I'm just
look
like,
you want to fuck him. Please.
They like spin around and he just like gently strokes the edge of his face or something.
Oh, no. No, he just took a dirty, dark turn.
Anyways, back to the movie.
Yeah, that is an entire considered a genre in martial arts films that there's this setup in these movies where there's like a very heavily nature scene with like male and female characters that are fighting one another, and it's kind of sexy in that moment. And yeah, they 100% did that in this movie, which was so fucking lovely. A nice little send-up.
Well, it was beautiful, and what it does is because we were talking about the way flashbacks work as well, to how it works and doesn't work for some movies. To show the story of this, you know, for that intensity of that romance and how it affected things. And as you're seeing in certain flashbacks, how it affected.
You'll find out till later.
Right. Right. How it affected more than you actually think was what's happening with the main plot line.
Yeah.
You know, it's this is where they did the flashbacks appropriately.
Mm-hmm. It was in the right part
of
the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was at a critical moment of the film.
To still tell the current story, but show the right reflection of why that occurred.
Now, I love the initial scene with nature and all that between the father and the mother, but honestly, when you get to where Shang-Chi actually enters and he meets his aunt, and then he goes to her, it's like, my mother beat him. I need to learn her style to beat him. And when she uses it, it's definitely like body movement, but she just basically uses nature to fuck him up. She uses a bunch of leaves to throw his ass across the fucking island, dude.
Right.
Like, that took that sexuality out of it and just so like, no, this is a fucking force to be reckoned
exactly.
with.
Yeah,
I love that
exactly,
too.
Yeah.
Oh, I did too. But just going back to what Scotty was saying about the placement of the flashbacks being perfect, mm-hmm. that was one thing that I felt was really notable about this movie was for a 2-hour and 15-minute movie, the pacing was impeccable.
Yep, like, very much. I agree.
Every fight scene felt appropriate in length, even though some of them were really long. I felt like every moment was so well crafted and like perfectly choreographed, like mm-hmm. everything else in the movie, that it just, I mean, I was truly riveted every second
yep,
of this
second.
Movie
yeah.
and that is partially because of the pacing.
And I've got to, I gotta bring this up, and he's probably gonna get pissed at me because I brought this up, but we recorded a Madness the mm-hmm. night before we were recording this, and of course if you, Hunter and I talked about Shang-Chi because we haven't seen each other since we both had seen it,
yeah,
and he thinks the third act drags.
What?
We actually spent like a good chunk of our recording time discussing how the fuck it did not drag.
Are we gonna scrap?
Oh,
F you, Hunter. It's on site.
Oh, shit. I'm sure I know exactly what part of the third act that you're talking about.
When they first get into
but here's the thing is if you look at even the wheel of the hero's journey, that is part of
it's a hero's journey.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to say.
It's basically
exactly.
the preparation for war. You have it in those... even in fucking Game of Thrones, when they're waiting for the White Walkers to come, there's that moment of silence episode where they're all preparing for the things
to come.
And
that was half the length of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
That set up, they're getting ready for fucking war, and I was riveted by that because you're also learning about this world at the same time.
Exactly.
They had to make you care about the people. Yep. They told the story of the dragon and the souls. Like, there was so much there that made that final battle scene matter,
mm-hmm.
besides just him fighting his dad.
Right,
well,
exactly.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
well, we knew that was going to happen anyway.
No, but I mean, like, ultimately, if they hadn't have done that, it would have been like him fighting dad.
Right.
And that's
right.
it. They added so much to that.
To F.U. Hunter, though, the Infinity Gauntlet has been thrown down for that nonsense that he's talking.
Nonsense.
He was just like, the third act dragged. I'm like, I don't see that, dude.
But that was some of the richest storytelling throughout the whole movie.
I dragged for him. He said,
when you can tell the story just
I told him I was
like,
going to like have
with
to
not just
out,
expose
that's,
him.
That was some bullshit.
I'm going to have to smack his old ass.
I literally said what Hobbit said. Like, that's the, he went through, literally, Shang-Chi went through the hero's journey.
Yeah.
And he had to
right.
for it to matter at the end.
Yep.
You have to go through that.
This is the great thing that, and Marvel kind of does this, whether they do it on purpose or not, but it another reason why it's a great introduction into the next phase of the MCU is that where you're doing that, where we know who the hero is, you learn about what he is, but he purposely left the good life, so to say,
mm-hmm.
to do his thing. And even though he could walk right back in and be like, I'm back, bitches, and be able to do whatever he wanted, he didn't and still went against his father, who was trying to bring him back into the fold.
Yeah, he had a little rum springer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, dude.
He actually went against his father from the get. He didn't, like, willingly leave. He was told to leave, and then he's like, fuck you, I'm not doing this, and I'm not coming back either. Like, he was told to go kill the person that killed his mom.
Right. Well, he chose not to go back after whatever happened.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But, I mean, like, he didn't, like, he chose that. He's like, he could have easily gone back.
Well, no, that's what I was saying. If I said it wrong, I apologize.
No, I'm not,
like,
arguing with you.
He purposely sat there and was like, fuck this shit. I'm doing
my dad,
thing
my
here.
Dad should want me to do this shit.
Yeah.
You should do it because you're the one that fucking wasn't here. I'm a fucking 8-year-old boy. Because remember, he blamed him. I'm like,
motherfucker.
Fuck you, you narcissistic piece of shit.
Yeah,
right.
Fuck you, dude.
Exactly.
That is like
your
the
kid
worst
was like 10
stereotype.
Years old. What the fuck's he gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
One thing that I will say, after I just made the point myself about how great the pacing was, I will say that the one thing I wish that they would have expanded on just a little bit, like just a one sentence, one off kind of thing, is how the fuck did this kid make it at 15 in San Francisco by himself? Like, well, after running
they
away.
They kind of alluded to that with the Awkwafina's family. Like, remember, he goes and, like, gets food with them.
Right.
So I think, like, once they become friends,
How did he get enrolled in school?
Right.
You need a parent's signature.
How did he
know
how to do that?
San Francisco also, if I remember correctly, has the biggest, quote-unquote, Chinatown. And
yeah.
You could, if you have
true.
Family in the old country, or you can talk the language,
yeah,
you can basically walk in and be a part, as long as you're respectful, be a part of someone's family.
That does make sense.
That does make a lot more sense.
And that's a good place for us to cut it for our break. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Shang-Chi, or the man with the rings.
The man with the
You said it right, though. You could have just led with the Shang-Chi.
It's okay.
Right. The legend of the ten rings.
The legend of the guy with the rings.
Yep.
We're talking about on this one. Do a drunken scene or two, talk about what we're drinking, and continue this debauchery. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-Wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
Hey guys, Scotty Big Daddy Preston here. That's right, the Geek Father, asking you to join me here every other week with friends and family of the GUI Network as we go through all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent. So remember, join us or cry.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things about the guy with the 10 rings. And before we get into the rest of the episode, first off, I want to give a little bit of a shout out to a convention coming here to Richmond, Virginia. Heroes Assemble, the Con with a Cause, coming September 18th to Regency Square. There's going to be a number of celebrities joining the ranks of this convention. It's a con that benefits the Geek Wellness initiative, which talks about mental health in the geek community.
Right.
That geek culture definitely draws a lot of people that distract them from the challenges of everyday life. And so it is important to have that conversation about, like, your proper mental health.
Absolutely.
Yes,
taking care of yourself.
That is a conversation that needs to be had.
And I love that the taboo is slowly being chipped away from that conversation.
Sure.
And
yeah.
That's what's being focused on here. And the convention, there's a laundry list of celebrities. You can just check out Eventbrite or type in Heroes Assemble the Con with a Cause on Facebook to get the link to the information. $30 a ticket, September 18th, Regency Square. Check it out. It's for a great cause, and there's going to be a lot of celebrities, including people like a bunch of Power Rangers. Artemis from Stargirl is going to be there. Black Canary on Arrow is going to be there. There's the guy that plays Colossus in Deadpool 1 and 2.
Oh, so
nice. Be there as well. Yeah, so there's some really cool guests.
Very cool.
Just wanted to give a quick shout out to Geek Wellness for doing that. That's so, very cool.
At the least, go get your geek on and try to help a good cause.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And then onto our sponsors, of course, is Amazon.com. If you want to dig into the comics of Shang-Chi or any of the upcoming Marvel movies, the Eternals or any other stuff we're looking at with the multiverse,
right?
You can do that by getting your comics or your animated Marvel movies or what have you. Through Amazon.com. Just make sure you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com. There's a link on the front page and also in our link section. Go through that link, and anything you purchase, we get credit for. So it allows you to get all the stuff you're already getting from Amazon. I just bought this awesome little thing for my different types of salt I have. I have Himalayan pink salt. I have sea salt. I have kosher salt. Getting some flake salt in the mail.
You fancy motherfucker.
And so I needed a little tin for all the different types of salt that I use for my different stuff.
I'm pretty excited about it.
I'm excited about it, too. Steven's looking at me like I'm an idiot, which, A, I'm used to. But also,
I was about to say, why are you stopping to tell us that something we already know?
I didn't mean for it to come across as looking at you like an idiot.
It's more like, why do you need that many types of salt?
More like a madman.
Oh, yeah. But that's kind of the fun thing is that I found this thing that was like, I don't know, it was like $8 or $10 for like four little containers that I can pinch whatever amount of salt I want out of the different containers, readily accessible on my counter.
Yeah.
But yeah, just check that out through our links at GUIpodcast.com. Then our other sponsor, and there's some new fucking stuff coming out on TeePublic.
Yes.
That I'm excited about.
Yes. My son wants one of them. Oh.
Amy, we've got one from Deeply Upsetting that just dropped.
We do. Yeah, the Manatee Mercenary.
Manatee Mercenary.
Very
it's,
important.
The manatee wearing a Rambo-style bandana with Born to Kill tattooed into his body.
See, when I saw the bandana and the Born to Kill, I just thought it was the manatee fucking Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Of general mercenary. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of pulling from a couple different sources.
It's got Born to Kill on its side.
I know.
That's Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
Which, hilarious. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yes. Correct.
If I knew how to do animation, I would totally do a manatee going, like, I'll give them a war they won't believe. But I don't.
Love that manatee impression.
That's how manatees talk, actually.
Is that how they talk?
That's exactly like that.
Okay, good God.
That's available. There's, of course, one becoming pretty popular, the He-Man logo GUI.
It's fucking rad,
it's
dude.
Really cool.
Shit's fucking rad.
That's doing pretty well.
I got to put in my order soon on that one.
Well, and speaking
of
orders.
They're on sale right now.
Yeah, and speaking of orders, all of the Halloween limited release shirts are now available on our site. So
yeah, I've been pushing that shit, too, because I'm like, You get the Michael Myers with the fucking beer hat.
Alka Halloween.
Yeah. You get the Nightmare on Elm Street ale.
Yep.
You get the fucking...
I like Ouija
you get the
board
fucking,
the best.
Ouija board is
a good
one. That's because we look like dumbasses.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So dumb.
That might be why.
You get the Join Us or Die fucking cube.
Oh, yeah. Bop It?
Bop It.
Yeah, yeah. The Hellbox Bop It.
Yeah, it was. That's hilarious.
Twist it, turn it.
It's so.
Oh God.
There's some winners
There's
over
some
there for sure.
Dumb shit we have on this website, but
no, it's all fun and like yeah, it's probably gonna be up through the rest of the year. That's usually when we leave it up. We leave it up through the holidays generally.
Yeah.
Like, but that only gives you a few months to get it. And a few months go by quick. And I say a few months, but a few months go by quick.
Especially those months.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are starting to do the Christmas shopping already this time of year, now would be the time to get it just because shipping already takes long enough for the shit we've been dealing with for the past year and a half.
This holiday
season
is
going to be fucked,
dude. These companies
are getting them out as quickly as they can, and it's not, you know, shit is delayed.
And I'll tell you, out of the sales, even the holiday sales, the cheapest you're going to get is the 35% off that gets those t-shirts down to about, the regular t-shirts down 14? To about $13.
13 or 14,
yeah. 13, yeah.
Super cheap, yeah.
So we're going to have sales between now and the holidays. If you see it down to $13, don't wait for the holidays for it to get cheaper, because that's the cheaper they're going to get, which is, I mean, $13 for a shirt, not bad. So,
no.
But yeah, TeePublic, go to GUIpodcast.com/store or just click on the TeePublic link on the homepage.
That'll
send you to us to the store where you can look at all the definitely over 40 designs with all the holiday stuff.
We have two pages now.
Yeah.
Two pages.
So definitely tons of options for you. I'm going to be buying some new hoodies for hoodie weather coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to take advantage of the sale and get a couple hoodies.
I love the Falcon and Winter Soldier design for the GUI podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting I want a hoodie. So I want a GUI hoodie, and I'm going to do the Falcon Winter Soldier in hoodie form. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the He-Man one. So TeePublic also has a new eco-friendly shirt, listeners. I don't know if you guys are listeners have seen that. It's been a while maybe since you've been on that page, but they have an eco-friendly shirt.
Nice.
And I'm going to, I want the He-Man design, or Masters of the Universe design, on that, and kind of give it a trial. See how it holds up, see how the design holds
it's
up
actually
on the
Masters
shirt.
Of the Gooey-niverse is the name of that shirt.
Anyway, I'm going to buy that shirt just to see how design holds up, because I'm all for it, because it's the polyester is from recyclable plastic.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I have seen that.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
It costs a little bit more, but on sale, it's still, you're saving like $10 for the shirt.
Easily.
It just costs more because
But yeah, all that stuff's available. Like, check out, and there's, you know, button stickers, magnets, coffee cups,
tapestries,
mugs, yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Pillows,
yes. Yes, Scotty, pillows.
Yes, Scotty, 2 years ago, someone bought a pillow with your face on it.
Yes, they did.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. I'll never let it die.
Like,
people need to start posting their GUI stuff from TeePublic.
Yeah, like, fucking hashtag us, GUI Podcast, yes, or GUI Network with your GUI designs.
That
we would love
awesome.
To see them. We'll
awesome.
Post them on our social media.
Fuck
absolutely.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, you tag us, we share it.
Absolutely.
And everybody wins.
Yeah,
everybody wins.
And we share the shares.
Yeah,
so.
We share the shares. Everybody yeah. wins.
Yep. So do that, please. Now on to the thing that really fuels this show.
Yeah.
It's all the booze that we imbibe on a regular basis on a segment we call What We're Drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
We're drinking. We're getting drunk.
I still forget about Bo.
Bo is so like not. He's like so like okay.
He's like these assholes.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. But yeah, what we're drinking. We didn't do a lot of planning ahead on this episode. Amy and I are dragging today, and
of your own volition.
Of our own volition. That is for sure.
True.
But Stephen was nice enough to bring a share for us to enjoy. That's pretty appropriate for this time of year.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yes. That's all I was thinking about. Was it's cooler and it's not miserable to be outside. And I mean, I got an Oktoberfest, people, because you know. Because
duh.
You know how I feel about the fall and how most of the GUI Network feels about the fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I've got Masthead Brewing Company's Oktoberfest, and this is my first time having it. And it's a solid Oktoberfest. This is
good
definitely
choice.
It is my preferred version of an Oktoberfest. I like a malt forward.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't like the Oktoberfest. It's more of like a fest beer where it's lighter.
Yeah.
You know, this is from Cleveland, which I had no idea. Cleveland, Ohio. I did not see these guys when I was like 20 minutes outside of Cleveland a week ago.
Yeah.
But I did see, was it weird. Iron something? And I got their Oktoberfest while I was up there. It was like Iron Tracks or Iron something.
Iron City. That's Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
No, then it wasn't.
Yeah, Iron City is the PBR of Pittsburgh, basically.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Iron City.
Yeah.
It was something like Iron something, but it was, they had their own Oktoberfest, and I got that while I was up there. And it was brewed in Cleveland, so I'm not thinking of the same.
Okay. Well, there's iron in the names around that part of the world. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. There'd be more than one.
Exactly.
They're like the fucking Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, that's the Rust Belt right there. So,
yeah. Yep.
So, what a... I don't know what everyone thinks about it.
It's not bad.
I like it.
I can definitely deal with a little bit more of that that malt forwardness on it.
It's not as much as I like, but it's definitely more than a couple that I've had.
Sure. You know, some of them are a little bit weak that I've had, but this is very sessionable. I'd be able to drink a decent amount on a nice, cool fall day.
For us to do the outside drinks on with some of this.
I'm waiting for that like nice 65 degree weather outside, like sitting out, just enjoying some nice
crisp,
malty beverages.
Where I can still be wearing my shorts, but just throw on that hoodie just for that little extra comfy.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
And I do want to give a quick heads up to our listeners as well for the Halloween season. We always do the spooky. We're going to be doing a little less spooky on GUI this year just because of the amount of stuff coming out around that time. We're still going to have our 31 Days of Halloween episode. We're still going to do another spooky episode as well at the beginning of like late September, early October.
Right.
And then we're going to make room for like Dune is coming out.
Oh,
Venom's
Jesus,
coming out.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of stuff that's coming out in that time that we just need to make room for. So Mouse of Madness is going
to
be doing
I was about to say.
Yeah, it's going
to
be doing a lot of heavy lifting in October.
What's up?
Yeah.
It's not really heavy lifting.
Well,
it's just like
there's a lot of, I mean, Halloween Kills is coming out. There's like 32 fucking good horror movies that are coming out.
That's just impossible.
Yeah, no.
So we've got like,
but the big ones.
The big ones. Halloween Kills.
I officially request to be on that one. Maybe.
I mean, you and every single other person.
Well,
on that.
Well, I mean, Hunter and I talked about it. It's like we did with Candyman. We're probably just doing on the chopping block where it's just the two of us, just to make it
fair.
Easier.
Yeah, that's fair.
So.
But what I'm saying is that basically, if you are trying to get as much horror content during the Halloween season, make sure to check out Mouse of Madness as well, because we'll be doing a little bit on GUI, but all horror, all the time.
Yeah.
Mouse of Madness will be bringing it down.
Even Geek Fathers tries to jump on that train, but we're like, well, we got to keep it somewhat family friendly. We'll do what we can.
Yeah, all the shows
like
be doing
like
a little
Mr.
bit.
Boogity.
I know, yeah, deeply upsetting. Sure. We'll do some spooky stuff
we'll
for Halloween.
We'll do a Nightmare Before Christmas episode maybe or something. Yeah, we'll see what's up.
I didn't mean that.
Deeply
upsetting
is in the horror genre.
Awesome.
Yeah, but we love the spooky season, and the kids love the spooky season, so...
We have moved, for those that didn't hear Free Guy, we have moved the drunken scene to the end of the episode. So stay tuned, that's coming up, but we're just getting right back into Shang-Chi right now. And to start off, I really wanted to talk about kind of the world that they go into with the fucking protector dragon and then the crazy soul sucker dragon.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole mystical world.
What was it just called, like the head sucker, I think is what they called it?
No, the other things, it was called the soul sucker. Soul the sucker. Baby ones were called like...
Something.
Little suckers.
Yeah, something like that.
Honestly, it's one of those things because if you look at all the mythologies around the world, a lot of stuff crosses over. And if you look at the design, one of my first thoughts of just what I remember growing up with, Jabberwocky.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And again, same type of thing as stealing souls, trying to take...
But no, Jabberwocky.
Yeah.
Man, there's so much shit in the mountains in the MCU version of China. There's like the Iron Fist stuff. There's the Shang-Chi stuff.
I know.
I'm just really hoping that when the barrier broke down for the cavern that was like protecting him,
right,
just Gimli would come out and be like, wrong mountain.
Wrong mountain.
Or Smaug come out like, my gold, and just pop his head back in.
Frodo pop out going, nope, wrong one.
Yeah, right.
Just right on back.
No, like, but,
wrong totally. Ring. Wrong ring.
Wrong ring. All right. Is that it?
That might
wrong
be the
ring.
Name.
Yeah.
How did you get 10 of those?
I've had enough trouble with one.
Right.
You're walking around with 10? No wonder you're in a pissy mood.
Shit.
Understatement of the century.
Right. Well, I really thought the big bad villain was going to be Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah.
That still may be a possibility for the next Shang-Chi movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I thought, again, it played perfectly as an origin for giving us the new character into this phase of the MCU. It was done so well.
Well, from what I understand, Talo, the city that they're in is basically a pocket dimension.
Right.
It's not like a full dimension. It's kind of like transitory dimension between the dimension that all
the
creepy
gross
soul suckers are coming from, and our universe. So it's kind of a passageway that they have to get through to get to our Earth, in the comics at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be probably more conversations about what happens in this pocket universe. Are there other pocket universes, which will be
exactly
the whole Iron Fist mythos probably as well. There's a bunch of them. And that's where you can get a whole lot of multiverse crazy going on.
I mean, they had mentioned that, like, their land is vast. Like, it's a huge land of stuff, but to get into this area, there's, like, one or two ways, and that's about it.
Well, I love the bird's eye view shot they give you both times with this.
Yes.
Like, how that moves. Like, could you imagine a forest, like, chasing you?
Right.
Like,
stay in the pocket.
There's one woman from Evil Dead that knows how that feels.
That's a little bit different.
That's a little bit different. It's a little different.
Either way, there's
a lot of souls being swallowed.
Yeah.
Evil Dead, it was taken some stuff.
Everything.
That's true, too. Yeah.
But no, like, the bird's eye view just shows as they're driving, like, the closing in on them and then shifting, and like, that's crazy. I can imagine being in that.
Right.
I love the contrast between the two, the bird's eye view, when you saw them taking the passage like both times from the dad and then Shang-Chi in the present. But then I also love the parallel of when they, you know, put the pendants in the dragon.
Oh, yeah, and
then you were able to see it in the like grass in the ground in gold. That was so amazing.
Yeah,
it was
like a gold, white, colorful thing on the ground at the house when they did that.
That was the moment that Mike went to the bathroom.
Yep.
And I was like, it was like the most visual. I can't even explain it to you at this point,
just from watching like reviews and stuff.
Okay, so you missed the whole water flow. Oh, man.
I know. I was so sad. He came back and my mouth is like on the ground.
It was beautiful.
It was really pretty.
My favorite was seeing the hard contrast of a chicken pig that knows directions really well, and then like lion, like gargoyle horses, and
can we talk about
horses,
the big battle kitties, please?
And then in the midst of battle kitties and chicken pigs, there's just this fucking truck with Razor Fist and bad graffiti on the side of it.
Amazing. As someone who,
it's just so fucking the hard contrast there, pulling up in a fucking like avalanche with like Razor Fist graffiti on the side, and then there's just a fucking like giant Battle Kitty.
It's like a Battle Kitty just like sunbathing and like, oh, you're new. Like, oh, shit.
As much as I love Asian art, this is actually probably one of the best depictions as you've seen of that. Like the white fox with the nine tails.
Dude.
And everything.
And so the Battle cool. Kitty. The Battle Kitty, too. The face battle... structure, that's very
everything on, was, on the, and, on and the even nose. From what I read, because I am by no means the expert on this shit. I just appreciate the art from this area of the You're world.
Right. The fox with the tails was gorgeous. Right.
From what I have read about, everything was depicted basically as accurate as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently a lot of people were mistaking the fox with the multiple tails for a Pokemon.
Oh, yeah.
There is a Pokemon with yeah.
Fucking hell.
I just thought it was Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog, but, you know, that was...
Well, he doesn't have multiple tails.
He has two.
Yeah.
He has two.
That's not, like,
That
a
is
lot.
Multiple.
True. But
okay,
it's
so Tails is bad is in Shang-Chi.
Sega!
Sega!
Now you know where he... We're talking about more and more rings here.
Yeah, right?
If you're Sonic, So apparently there's just a thing with rings in the Asian culture. I mean,
Sonic's like 10 rings, please.
Yeah. I got 199 of those bitches in the first level. Fuck you.
Yeah, right. Like, Green Hill Zone, covered.
Yeah. Or Sonic is like, wait, the rings do what? Like, I got 200 of these motherfuckers.
Dude, I was just buying burritos with those motherfuckers. Right. What the hell?
Oh, can we get a crossover? Shang-Chi and Sonic. Yeah, did they just put out the Sonic?
Yes. Shang-Chi, yes. Like 10 rings on his arms, and Sonic's just like all the way down his arm, just stacked with rings.
He can't even lower his arms. They're just being held up by rings. He's like,
the younger brother in Christmas Story, where I can't put my arms down.
Yeah, no,
full of rings.
Yes. Oh, wow. Oh. Us.
I mean, but... in the era of the multiverse, anything could happen.
True.
Dude, there is so much crossover that we never knew that we needed, but apparently we do.
In reality, with Shang-Chi, so, you know, when he realizes that his sister didn't send the invitation and it was his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we talk about that fight scene on the side of the fucking building?
Oh my God.
Anxiety me. Like, Jesus Christ.
Wait, before we get into this, the most interesting piece of trivia that I've learned about this movie so far that is blowing my whole fucking mind is that the actress that plays the sister, the character is Shaolin, I think, this is her first movie ever. Ever.
No shit.
100%.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
That's incredible.
Talk about she's an introduction
amazing.
To film. Like,
right.
Just starting on the MCU as... such a bad
as
bitch.
And by the end of it, the leader of the 10 rings.
Yeah,
did they like interview her in a rock climbing facility or something?
Right?
Like,
I know.
The fuck, how did that work?
I don't know that. I want to look into like how she got the role, but
yeah, that's awesome.
Fascinating.
She killed it.
Badass.
She was a great character. I think she's
amazing. And just the choreography that they had to learn. I watched some really cool like behind the scenes of her and the actor that played Shang-Chi rehearsing, and they're just, you know, wearing regular clothes and masks and doing rehearsal, and it's unbelievable to see.
It's a dance. It's incredible.
It's so fast, you know.
What also was it Simu Liu? And I apologize for my pronunciation. My garbage Scandinavian mouth just can't do proper justice to these words. But he was in what, Kim's Convenience, I think, and. Not a whole lot else.
Pretty like small bit part kind
of
things. Yeah,
not a lot of big parts. So
apparently the whole thing with him is that he actually Twittered out to like Kevin Feige and like basically Marvel going, hey, Shang-Chi, awesome
in like 2014.
Story. I'm right here. Like, this was...
Yeah, he said, hey, Disney, we gonna talk? And he like hashtag Shang-Chi. That's because like that they actually showed that before Shang-Chi and before... what did I see before that? Candyman.
Know.
Yeah, and they showed the actor saying, like, yeah, I actually just
what they
tweeted.
Do in the
theater. Oh, they love that for marketing. They're like, oh, fucking gold, Jerry, gold.
Yeah.
He was just like, he tweeted like, hey, so, you know, we got to talk, and then hashtag Shang-Chi. I'm like, I love you, dude, because you were like so like low-key subtle, but also like swinging your dick at the same time. You're like, I can do this role. I can do this role.
Well, clearly.
Because when was the original Iron Man? 2008, right?
Yep. 2008, yes.
Yeah. So even like 6 years later and 7 years prior to now, this character was still recognizable. And even though a lot of the, even like, unless you were really a diehard reader of the comics, you didn't always know who this character was, but there was enough there, and obviously the right guy to sit there and go, yo, let me represent this shit proper, you know?
And not just, it did a great job acting, and he was great in the role. I've no notes. He did a great job. I'm really excited to see him as an Avenger now, at the Welcome to the Circus line at the end. But additionally, being somebody that is the main character in a predominantly Asian cast film for Marvel, and how important is that is culturally, mm-hmm. and how much backlash you're going to get from sad, angry, toxic fans.
Oh yeah.
His attitude is fucking perfect because mm-hmm. he doesn't deal with any of that bullshit.
Right. Nope. Exactly.
He's throwing that shit right back. He's not fucking around. He has no patience for it. He has no patience about like any kind of conversation. Well, there's enough representation. Fuck you. No, there isn't. He is not being subtle about his feelings on
and
he shouldn't be subtle about it. And I think that's, I wouldn't say more than just as important as his being able to do the role well is being able to be that person that can kind of hold it all together like
be a hero off screen.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do have a side note because I'm glad you mentioned about not having notes because I really, really thought about you when I watched this movie and it was the guy on the bus making the video. And totally like saw
Clem?
You.
Oh, yeah.
Totally saw you doing the, well, I took some kung fu when I was in my youth. I'm going to make notes about this fight as it happens.
I took 2 weeks of Tung Soo Do in eighth grade. So
Two whole weeks.
As I've said since, is that these hands are registered minor inconveniences. So
That's so hot. You're really so dangerous.
That should actually be the name of the episode. Registered minor inconveniences. 10 rigs, 2 hands that are minor inconveniences.
But he's actually a recurring character because Clem was in Spider-Man Homecoming. He was at a news booth.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Hey, Spider-Man, do a flip.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Spider-Man's like, fuck yeah, I'll do a flip. And he's like, yay.
So I'm glad to see that at least Sony and Marvel are still working together after a scare.
Yeah,
at
Sony
one point.
isn't the hill they're dying on isn't retaining Clem as part of their continuity.
But I really did think of you of going, like, just that guy, just the way he was like, and I'm going to narrate some shit. I thought of you, and it was an endearing thought. So mm-hmm.
I took it as that. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Because, I'm not gonna get involved. Are you kidding me?
The last time I tried to drive a bus, they got mad.
There's a dude named Razor Fist, and if you didn't know his name, you could probably guess it.
Yeah. Right. Can you guess that who the character is?
Let's see. He's got a razor for a fist. Steve.
Yeah.
Steve.
Joe.
The funny thing is he actually was named Razor Fist before his arm got cut off. So that's what's weird about That's probably not true.
That don't start that. That's not a good hashtag to go with. Please no.
Like, oh, you call yourself Razor Fist. Let's see if you don't have any fist.
It was predetermined.
Yeah.
It was meant to be all along.
It's like I was always meant to have a Razor Fist. That's the prequel series that we get for Disney Plus. It's just the Razor Fist,
Razor Fist origin story. Oh,
hell yeah.
Maybe that's the name of the episode, is Razor Fist origin story.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that's the hashtag we should start.
Right?
Let's start that petition now.
You know the actors be like, fuck yeah, I'll do a Razor Fist origin story.
Like, ooh, Big Nasty? He's into it.
Big Nasty will totally pull off the Razor Fist origin story.
Oh my God.
Say that 5 times fast.
I'm not gonna.
He's probably praying for it every night as it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true too. But...
he doesn't need this powerful campaign that we're starting for him.
Right. So, actually, I have a question, and I wasn't able to find anything out, because also the fight scene that Steven had brought up to the side of the building, which was one of the best fight scenes.
Oh, my God.
For sure. Oh, God.
The guy, the trainer guy in the mask, who I think he does get his soul sucked.
He gets his soul sucked, version of, what is it, Death Dealer, I think, in the comics is what his character is supposed to be.
Is that what it's supposed to be?
I believe so.
Because it looked very, and I was waiting for kind of a reveal at one point.
And nothing. But, he just gets his soul sucked.
Yep.
Yeah. But I was like, the way
he was like the first to get his soul sucked, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, his character is Death Dealer, which definitely the mask looks different in the comics.
Right.
It doesn't have that like kabuki mask kind of vibe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think they were trying to, but they didn't really follow through with it. You know what I mean? Like, it was all white with just some artwork on it, but it wasn't like kabuki.
The full kabuki.
Yeah, right. I was intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Okay. I figured it was some relation to a character, but I was that was lacking on my part for not really double checking.
Well, Shang-Chi had his ass too, so there's that.
Uh-huh.
He'd have been dead in that scene if the daddy hadn't cut in. I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just saying.
It's true.
That was so disappointing.
I know. I was like, he was already so ready to kill him because he like got the shit kicked out of him his whole fucking childhood.
Yep.
Dude,
and one thing we haven't really brought up a whole lot at this. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That, see, that's what I was saying.
It's got more of a skull mask thing.
So why didn't they do that? That would have been fucking rad.
I think they were trying to make it make more sense that this dude is like, you know, an Asian assassin character. Why would
and not
he,
just a random skull mask?
Yeah, why,
or
they
something.
Also had Crossbones had the like the skull helmet thing.
Yeah.
So probably to get away from there being any confusion between the two.
Let's also say that this also brings in a good part of where the dad, because another great character that was really unexpected was Sir Ben Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact of
Trevor,
and how the dad explains how Trevor got the 10 rings before you even know he's in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it before, but the fact that he just point blank went, the motherfucker named himself after a chicken dish.
Right.
And we're like,
any future legacy for the Mandarin. And the Mandarin is so badass in the comics.
That would have been, the thing is, it could still happen, but you would have to go to like some weird grand scale of like some mystical being now, not just a dude who gets power, who like what happened with the original Mandalorian.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, because you know another crossover that you didn't know was going to happen. You know.
Oh yeah, fucking Marvel and fucking Disney and
Disney
Star Wars
shit. You never know. Disney,
yeah, they might do that.
But again, that could still bring it back to Fin Fang Foom.
Yeah. Mm.
Where the Mandarin is technically the person who raised Fin Fang Foom in the comics originally as well. Granted, he had the 10 rings, but
I'm looking at that the Mandarin is one of the many titles that his father had carried over the years.
Thousand-year reign with the rings.
But also with the reign of the rings as well, Shang-Chi's sister, what's her name? Was it
Xiaolin?
Xiaolin is now in charge of the 10 rings. So there is something about like a torch-passing thing that it, as far as whatever it be called, like Warrior King or Mandarin, she would be taking that role.
Well, is in charge of the Order of the Ten Rings. Shang-Chi has the rings.
Yeah.
Which means,
if you're talking about a sequel, a struggle for power, that she's having trouble getting them to pay as much attention to her without the rings, being representative, and then her having to basically get them from her brother. And
That's what I was going to say is also for the general public to tell the difference, the Order of the Ten Rings, and to try to educate the 10 rings separate from that, and that's where the brother and sister go head to head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did look at the 10 rings and all the different symbols within the rings on their flag.
Yeah.
And basically all of them are some different version of power in there. There's like power of body, there's power of mind, there's power of, you know, just different versions representing power.
She added a lotus though at the end.
Oh, well, I think part of that is that a lot of the symbols for power, it's the masculine symbol for power.
She added the more feminine.
And, you can see at the end scene where she has women being trained, which they were previously not allowed to be trained, which is cool.
Now,
like,
do you think
representation
that was in
underground.
Is the mask, or is that traditional for women? Like, all the way back to Mortal Kombat, you see the women assassins always wearing something to cover their mouth, where the men really weren't. Do you think that they just filmed that end scene later, and it was during COVID, and like that's kind of where they get play wearing.
I'm being serious, dude. I mean, maybe,
but because if you look, not all the women are wearing masks, but not all the men are wearing masks. So I don't know if they were. Wearing masks and you're a part of an order, you're all gonna fucking wear masks.
Right.
The whole thing is you're also talking about thousands of years of various traditions and who is carrying on what.
And the image showed a woman in a mask.
Yeah.
Like, when you panned all the way out, but. The lotus, I thought, was a nice touch for her, for the femininity of like, no, it's beautiful, but I will fucking kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And what
I thought it was awesome.
What I was
going to
add too was because if anybody doesn't know, the original 10 rings in the comics were actual like rings that you wore on your fingers.
Fingers, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and
that's why they showed in Iron Man 3. They showed
the spirits of like previous champions or something.
Yeah, and that's what the Mandarin did is that it kind of like what Thanos did with the Infinity Gauntlet is that you can use a general like power beam or something at somebody, but you could use what each individual ring Like if it was a certain strength or like spirit.
And that's why in Iron Man 3, when you see
the
Mandarin, he's actually got all these rings on his fingers.
That was the original nod to the actual Mandarin.
Just involved with the rings. Like, I love Shang-Chi's father's turn at the end when he realizes that he was following a false voice and he was right. And he just like handed the rings over. Like, you need to destroy this. He could have. But he realizes that he is so gone.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But after a 1,000-year reign, right? Like, he's so gone. Like, no, you. You are the best of me and your mother. Take these rings. Mm-hmm. And he saw that when he fought his son, and his son fought him like his mother did.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he realized, like, no, you are the best of both of us. Here you go.
Yep.
I will die. And that,
exactly what I was going to hit is seeing his dead wife through his son.
Which is, he was
trying to literally beat that out of him when he was training his son after the mom died, trying to beat out all that emotion and connection with, he was trying to make him a trained killer, just so to see after all of that, you still have the mom coming through at the end.
Yep.
It was that moment of like, okay, and also showing that he belongs there in that city. Like there is like genetically or just like from lineage, he has a place there. That his father never did.
Right.
And so the rings belong to him. That legacy belongs to him.
Exactly. Yep.
That was kind of such a bummer, though, when you thought about how Shaolin says earlier on in the movie that he couldn't even, like, look at her because she reminded him of the mother. That, like, what a shame that she could have been learning this whole time how to be like the mother. Whereas
she talk about how, like, horrible it was for her. Like, for real,
oh,
though.
Oh, that's
just
that's
herself.
What I was about
that's
to bring up
terrible,
as well.
Dude.
I was
and about, she's a badass.
Oh, yeah. I was about to. And it's no wonder that she's taking over what is going to probably turn into the bad side of the Ten Rings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because I.
She's had the bad side her whole life. She's gotten, like, the scraps, the leftovers. This fucking sucks.
But the
dude.
Way she learned, and she's a badass, but if she got that proper training.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
This movie would have a totally
And they're getting
title.
Into it now. I mean, she's not only getting a bunch of people trained, but she's probably getting much better training now.
Yeah. Well, the resources that she has, if she's supposed to be supposedly dismantling the Ten Rings, but she knows where all the wealth is.
Yeah.
All the connections. All that
her fight club had somebody with the Extremis thing that was glowing orange that was fighting a widow.
Yeah,
had Abomination and Wong hanging out and doing some shit. Right. Like there was a lot of
she's not poor.
Fighting a widow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was fighting a widow.
Wow,
you didn't realize that?
Yeah,
no, but like
I mean, that was a quick.
It was
scene,
quick, though. And I saw it, and I'd be like, no shit, she was. Who are trained assassins, like. Fuck, man.
And I even looked it up. The actress that is in that moment that's fighting the extremist person from Iron Man 3, that actress was in Black Widow. She was one of the widows in Black Widow.
Nice.
So she is actually established Black Widow character.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
So now when she pops up, it's like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
We know you.
Yep.
Like it.
Yep. Well, and I love that she built this empire and this, you know, massive fight club. And so it made it that once she was able to put that bad bitch army together real fucking quick.
Oh, yeah.
The Truth. Quickness, I was impressed.
There is some hardcore bitches out there training, but when the pan out, you're like,
And her little homeboy would still beside her, too, at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah,
little fucking dude. Yeah. Oh, God, I wanted to punch him.
What's that comedian's name? Like, he's been around forever, but... He was hilarious.
I loved
him as just the hype man that was all about like getting all, you know, the MC.
Oh yeah.
It was fucking great.
Mm-hmm. That was good. That was really good. This was put together so well.
It really was. And I think, we could probably wax poetic a little bit longer on this, but we do have to do our drunken scenes before we get out of here.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's tie this little ribbon. Let's
dive into the drunken scene.
So we've got a few one-liners from the movie. There's not a whole lot out yet for the dialogue, so we've got stuff from, and again, apologies for butchering some of these names that are very hard to pronounce, like Trevor.
Trevor.
Slattery.
Oh my God.
Trevor Slattery.
Slattery.
Slattery. That's
English.
That was the one. Anybody that's listened to this long enough knows that even English is a challenge for me sometimes.
Very
tender.
I'll just grasp.
Yeah.
I'll do Trevor.
Dude.
You'll do Trevor? Okay.
I'll do Trevor. Yeah. Let's have some fun with Ben Kingsley, man.
Jiang Nan. Is that? Or something closely to that. That's Michelle Yeoh's character, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the auntie.
Yeah. And then Wenwu, and then Shang-Chi. So
I'll do Wenwu.
Okay.
There's only two left. So
Dealer's choice, whichever one you want.
I'll do Shang-Chi.
Okay.
So.
Yep. Look at you taking.
You get the girl role.
I get the girl character.
Yeah, Pickett's girlfriend. You do the girl.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
I'll do it really girly for you. How about that?
I'll tell you what. The fucking aunt was badass.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. She always is.
Fucking crushed.
Michelle Yeoh is amazing in everything and also so hot. It's unreal. She's like 60 years old.
How is she so good at 60? Like, I know. I want, like, I'm
doing
sorry.
All the choreography.
Like, I want to put my dick in her at 60.
Ass.
I mean, is that wrong of me to say?
Not at all.
She's like, no, you're hot. Can we have fun?
I don't have a dick and same.
Yeah, well, right? No, like, I want, like, a buddy cop movie where it's just, like, it's in Chinatown in San Francisco, and it's Michelle Yeoh and Ming-Na Wen, who's also about 60.
Yes.
Or somewhere close to that. And she looks like she's, like, 32 years old.
Ming-Na Wen is...
The next Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, my God, yes! Fucking yes!
Oh, Ming-Na Wen is so... I'm sorry. Like, I remember, like, you go back to the original Mulan, she's the voice, and then, but then, like, you follow her through all, everything into...
The Legend of Chun-Li,
right?
Yeah. She's so, but she's such a beautiful woman.
She did a Stargate
woman.
Series?
She did?
Oh, Stargate Universe.
Yeah, I'm saying, that wasn't SG-1, it was Universe.
Universe, yes.
And then she came back and actually cameoed in the new Mulan. But she was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Who could HMA. Be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And she was kicking ass.
Chef's kiss on her character that, man. God. Fuck yes.
Sorry. She's so... She's such a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm. Right. You should see how hard his dick is right
now. Yeah, right?
I mean, he actually can see.
Frightening.
He's right there.
It's, I mean, it's weird that he's looking at me as he stacks his 10 rings on his dick. Like, this a lot.
Strength training never stops.
Yeah, no, really.
If you're a champion.
Can't stop, won't stop.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Cock push-ups.
All right.
Scotty, if you want to start us off with Trevor Slatterly.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck
yes,
did
you
just
are.
Do?
I said that some of these names are really hard to pronounce, so.
Slattery?
Yeah.
Making a drunken scene.
My best Ben Kingsley here. Hold on.
Sir Ben. Let's get your best Sir Ben here.
I was hired to play a terrorist.
Wow.
I don't think that's...
Just let him...
let him work.
And then turns out they were actually terrorists. The producer got blown up by Iron Man and I was arrested.
I was top four.
I thought it was Ben in the room. Sir Ben, excuse me.
Sir Ben.
I really
Sir
thought
Ben.
He was here.
I thought it was Sir Ben.
And I felt it.
I didn't feel any of that hidey-ho of Trevor.
It was more the spirit, I believe.
Yeah.
Just read your line.
Do you know accents? Do you know how accents work?
Have you looked at me?
I mean, you're pretty white. It's a pretty basic accent for someone who's white.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You sounded like William Shatner trying to read lines of the Joker from The Dark Knight as slam poetry.
I'll take it. How much? And how much you want to bet I could still do a better album than he did?
Those
Damn.
Are strong words, sir.
Fighting words.
Wait until I do my version of Rocket Man.
I don't want to be around for that. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
Read y'all's fucking lines. Get out.
All right, Amy, all right. You're next up. If you want to, hit your marks.
Hit my girly part.
Yeah, your girly parts.
Ooh. All right, we're gonna do Valley Girl Zhang Nan.
Cool.
You are a product of all who came before you.
That's true.
The legacy of your family. You're your mother, and whether you like it or not, you are also your father.
I'm my own dad.
Talk about some time paradox shit. But I did see Michelle Yao doing that voice. Like, I totally pictured it in my head. Like a little Bob.
She probably could. Let's be fair.
It was a wasted opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why I'm here, to remind her.
Next up, we've got the big boss on campus, Wen Wu.
Let's see if I can do what I want to do right.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm terrified.
I know.
I did, in mocking you, Scotty, a better British accent than you did for your character. So you just shh.
Do you see the I don't give a shit look on my face?
That's how you always look.
I see it.
Well, because I don't give a shit.
I gave you 10 years
to
live your life. And where did that get you? You walked in my shadow.
I trained you so the most dangerous people in the world couldn't kill you.
Nice.
Wonderful.
I was trying for Shredder.
Okay.
So I don't know if I really hit that.
I was getting more of the, what's his face? Cronin from Highlander.
Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown. I was getting more Clancy Brown. I will take that.
Yeah, I will take that. But yeah. I was trying to figure out a way, because it was in reference to culture, too.
Yeah, sure.
The first two Turtles movies had Shredder.
Makes sense.
I didn't want to be offensive, and the way he talked to was very like over the top.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it was like, these tuttles. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that.
I appreciate the panel not having to be asked not to do a super racist Asian accent. I very much appreciate that.
I think we would have walked out by now.
I was just until this point because I still got mine.
Here we go. The white is the white man. Well, I don't know. You and Scotty have like a tie.
There we go. Shang-Chi is my character here. So here we go. I thought I could change my name, start a new life, but I could never escape his shatter.
Good night, folks.
Thank you so much.
So that is it for this episode of Geeks on the Infinite. Thank you so much for sticking around for whatever that was. And definitely make sure to keep track with us on wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, join the social media stuff that we're doing. All that's available at gypodcast.com. Make sure to check out Deeply Upsetting, Geek Fathers, From the Mouths of Madness. I got a show called Smack My Pitch Up as well on this network. Check those out. Rate, review, subscribe. And we'll find you next time for another episode of Geeks on the Influence. I'm Mike the Hobbit. Join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
It's still good. It's still really good.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIPodcast.com.
I've had enough trouble with one. You're walking around with 10?